Third case for argument this morning is Stroman Realty against Grillo. Ms. Powell.
Podium operation here.
Looks not very good of it.
Sorry.
Say when.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Leslie Powell. I'm here on behalf of the plaintiff appellant, Stroman Realty. Stroman Realty had filed a Commerce Clause claim against the Department of Professional Regulation in the district court in 2005. It was filed in Texas. It was transferred to the district court here in Illinois. And the genesis of Stroman's Commerce Clause claim was that the imposition of the Illinois licensing statutes and the attendant regulations and requirements on Stroman in the conduct of its interstate timeshare brokerage operation violated the Commerce Clause. After Stroman had filed this federal complaint, the Illinois Administrative Agency brought an agency action against Stroman in the Illinois Department of Professional Regulations. Thereafter, the Illinois parties moved to dismiss Stroman's case on the basis of Younger abstention, and the district court agreed and found that Younger abstention was appropriate and that Stroman could raise its Commerce Clause claims in an appellate review of the agency determination. It is our position that the district court was absolutely wrong when it did so, and there are several reasons for this. First, Stroman's complaint was for prospective injunctive relief. It was not an attack to enjoin or prevent enforcement of an agency proceeding. It was filed following receipt of a letter from the agency in which they indicated for the first time, and Stroman had been in business for over 20 years, that Stroman was required to obtain an Illinois license to conduct its interstate operations. So because it was for prospective relief, it's our position that it doesn't apply in the first instance. The second point is, and this is a particularly important point.
And what decision of the Supreme Court do you principally rely on for the proposition that Younger is irrelevant?
Woolley, Your Honor.
But there was no pending case in Woolley. The Supreme Court made that point very loudly.
And
there is a pending case.
That's true. There was that. That is true.
So what Supreme Court case do you rely on for the proposition that Younger is irrelevant when there is a pending state case and the federal plaintiff chooses to seek prospective relief? Is there any? I don't know of any.
Well, no, I'm not aware of any, Your Honor, but I do believe that it's an important distinction because it's not interfering with the agency action, and from that standpoint, it is important. If you're seeking prospective relief and you're not trying to undo something the way they were in Middlesex, or as this circuit has found in cases involving revocation of license proceedings, It's a different situation. And the other point that I really need to emphasize here is that this is a Commerce Clause claim. And as the Fourth Circuit noted in Harper, and as this circuit considered in Midwestern, this is an important distinction because the underlying policy principles of Younger simply don't apply in a Commerce Clause claim. It's because Commerce Clause claims go to the importance of a unitary financial market. And in Younger, the genesis or the basis for that comity and federalism principles was that it was important to let the individual states maintain order in their own individual systems. A Commerce Clause claim absolutely excludes state interest. And that's an important distinction, and it was certainly found to be significant in Harper and in Midwestern. The other point that's important for this court to keep in mind is that Stroman is subject to multiple suits by the agency. And this is absolutely a critical distinction, because what happened here is that the agency brought its action against Stroman not to compel compliance and go out and get a license. What it did was it's fining Stroman for conducting activities which it claims require an Illinois license. It's not saying that Stroman is doing it illegally in terms of fraud or that it's misleading people. That's not the issue. What it is a claim for money based on past conduct. And that's an important distinction, because what can happen is the Illinois agency can just bring this action over again and over again and over again, and Stroman will not be permitted to, in other words, the Younger distinction says that you cannot bar someone from federal court when his defense to that single action won't protect him. The other point for this court's consideration is that the right of review is in fact limited, and while one certainly can raise constitutional claims on appeal, discovery is sharply curtailed in the agency proceeding. There's virtually no discovery. And then when that decision by the agency is considered by the courts, you're not entitled to additional discovery. So Stroman was without the ability to fully and fairly present its constitutional claims. The other the problem that is created is that there's a confluence of doctrines here that create a situation which will effectively or could effectively preclude Stroman from ever pressing its federal constitutional claim in the form of his choice.
So what?
Well,
that's just what Younger does. Indeed, that's the point of Younger.
No, actually, that's not the point of Younger, Your Honor, because in Younger, that what was involved there was an interference in a state court proceeding. And in Patsy and in Felder versus Casey, the Supreme Court talked about the importance of providing a federal forum for individuals that have a federal complaint. And the comity concerns that are raised in Younger simply don't exist in this administrative agency action. And I would suggest to you also that the Supreme Court has never held that a post-filed administrative agency action should serve as a bar to pressing one's complaint in federal court.
What, by the way, is the status of the administrative proceeding?
The status of the administrative proceeding, Your Honor, is, frankly, where we were before. Nothing's happened. We have had a couple conferences, but it has not been decided. We have not had a hearing on the merits at this stage.
Why? Has the state asked for a delay? Have you asked for a delay?
It's actually, no one's pressed it. And it's certainly not in our interest to press it, because we'd prefer, obviously, that this court decide this issue. The other problem that we're presented with is the preclusive effect of an agency determination. The Supreme Court has not held that an agency determination has claim preclusive effect. What it has held is that the fact findings that are decided by the agency are entitled to preclusive effect. There is now a split in the circuits on whether or not an unreviewed agency determination has preclusive effect. And so we're in we're, frankly, we're in between a rock and a hard place, because if we don't pursue our appellate rights on the agency appeal, we're in the position of finding out what the position of this circuit is. And this circuit hasn't come right out and answered that question. But again, the important point that I'd like to stress here is that because we're subject to multiple proceedings, we should absolutely be permitted to have our claim heard in the federal court system. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Certainly, Ms. Powell. Ms. Welch.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Mary Welch here on behalf of the Department Secretary. Excuse me. This is a case about federalism. This is about the state's sovereign right to enforce its regulations and about the state's sovereign right to regulate Illinois-related real estate brokerage services.
Before you get in the substance of your argument, before August of 2000, had Stroman ever conducted brokerage activities in Illinois?
According to Stroman, yes, it had, in fact, conducted brokerage activities for many years.
And this first came to your attention because of a complaint? Is that
correct,
how that
Your Honor.
Happened? Okay.
Correct.
Go ahead.
This court and the Supreme Court have held that if the Younger criteria are satisfied, a court must abstain, and that's exactly what the district court did here. The United States Supreme Court in Hicks said that effectively it doesn't matter when a state proceeding commences, so long as it commences before anything of substance happens in the federal case, and that's exactly what happened here. Nothing had happened. We hadn't even filed an appearance yet in the district court before the state administrative proceedings here began. And in addition, remember, the state had sent Stroman a cease and desist letter. So Stroman was on notice that if it didn't stop what it was doing, it didn't agree to stop what it was doing, that administrative proceedings were pretty much of a foregone conclusion. So thus the proceeding was ongoing for purposes of Younger. It was also judicial in that it was coercive. A fine is, in fact, what the department is seeking. It's also an adequate opportunity. The state administrative review circuit court proceeding is an adequate opportunity for review. This court, in fact, held that a review of the Illinois Department of Professional Regulations decision, coupled with the ability of the plaintiff to bring a constitutional challenge to the regulatory scheme, satisfies Younger on this ground. Consequently, the crux of the case here is whether there is a sufficient state interest. And surely a state's interest in regulating the brokerage of a state-created real property interest or a property interest when it relates to Illinois consumers is a traditional state interest. You have to look at it at this level of balancing specificity with generality. It's not just the state's police power in general. It's not just the state's police power against Stroman in particular.
What are the requirements in Illinois to get a real estate broker's license?
You have to pass an exam. You have to take certain educational courses, because of course Illinois has an interest in having those who deal with real Illinois related.
Residents of Texas can get licenses in Illinois.
Oh, surely. There's no problem with that. There is anyone anywhere can get an Illinois license so long as they pass the criteria. There's no limitation, and that's why this isn't like.
You have to be of good moral character, though, I take it.
Yes, that's also true.
And if Illinois standards.
Yeah.
Well. Yes.
New York speaker. As a matter of fact, the license can be revoked in the event you're. playing fast and loose with the thing. You're defrauding someone.
For fraud, right, incompetence, and so on. And remember, I mean, Illinois has a state sovereign interest in protecting its consumers with regard to
Illinois could have a rule that says that no one can drive a truck in Illinois without a license issued by Illinois?
No, because I think the full faith and credit, when you have a state license, it's as far as I know,
it has to do with interstate commerce, what you're worried about.
Right, and it would have to do, right, and that's, well, I think
the argument being made here that as a result of the Commerce Clause, the full faith and credit clause gets you nowhere.
You're right.
Because if that's so, then a Texas real estate license allows one to sell real estate in Illinois.
Right. I misspoke.
You must be thinking something about the Commerce Clause.
I am.
And then the question is, why isn't that equally applicable to real estate licenses?
Well, I suppose that's because I'm thinking about the Robertson case, the Supreme Court's 1946 case, in which the court held that an interest by, say, insurance agents, a much less state-tied interest. Remember that Illinois creates the real property interest in timeshares. For younger purposes, the Supreme Court held that when you're working in the state, that is to say with state residents, or here with...
Look, there's nothing I'm asking now about younger.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Why... Since you say the reason Illinois can't require a driver's license to drive a truck in Illinois is the Commerce Clause, why can Illinois require a real estate license? What's the difference between a driver's license and a real estate license?
Well, because real estate brokerage is a uniquely state-by-state...
The truck driver isn't doing business in Illinois. He's just driving through.
Correct. Exactly.
The real estate dealer is doing business in Illinois.
Right.
No, I've answered your question.
Thank you so much, Your Honor.
Yeah, that's all.
With regard to, if I could go back to Younger, with regard to the plaintiff's concern about never being allowed to be in federal court, it's true that Younger, as the court mentioned, channels, and the purpose of Younger is to channel a proceeding into one venue, either the state or federal venue. But this court in Chiatti gave a roadmap to people who want the federal forum, and what they have to do is filed before a violation, or here after this violation proceeding is finished, then before they would commit another violation, they would file the federal case, show that they have standing, which would seem to be not difficult once because of the previous prosecution, and then either not violate or get a preliminary injunction. So, in fact, there is a way to assure a federal forum for their claim if they want to, regardless of Younger. If they do, however, proceed through with the state court case, then, of course, there would be a preclusive effect. But again, that's just the effect that Younger has. So plaintiff's argument is really, as we said in the brief, really with Younger and how it operates, not with the state administrative proceeding here. So, and this plaintiff relies on the Fourth District's case in Harper, but Harper was quite different. What Harper did was allow an exclusive monopoly for a particular in-state vendor or waste remover. Here, as we said, anybody, anywhere can apply for and obtain an Illinois license so long as they pass the test, you know, take the classes and pass the test. So there's really nothing that prevents any out-of-state person from getting an Illinois license. Plaintiff failed to show that the Younger abstention doctrine doesn't apply here. Plaintiff also failed to show that the Commerce Clause prohibits requiring an Illinois license for Illinois-related real estate brokerage activities. Unless the court has any further questions, we ask that the court affirm the dismissal of the complaint here. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Ms. Powell?
Thank you.
I'd like to go back to this licensing issue, because Stroman is essentially just driving through Illinois.
You mean he's not having to do business here at all?
No. Stroman is physically located in Texas,
yeah,
where it is licensed.
He's not dealing with any real estate in Illinois?
There are three timeshare resorts located in Illinois.
So he's dealing with real estate in Illinois.
To a certain limited extent.
So he's doing business in Illinois.
No, because, in fact, the Supreme Court in Selover versus Bates...
No, I'm asking about now. The Supreme Court at the moment is above me. I don't understand. So you go on that. All I want to know is, does he do business in Illinois?
It is our position...
No, does he do business in Illinois? Capable of a yes or no answer.
Well, my answer is no, Your
Honor. Okay, he doesn't do business here at all. What does he care about him then? If he doesn't need a license, he's not doing business here. Why are we here?
Well, we're here because Illinois says we do.
Well, Illinois says to do something that he says he's not doing, they have to have a license. If he's not doing it, why do you care?
Well,
tell him to go,
take
a flying jump to the moon. What the heck? I'm not doing business. I don't care. I don't need a license.
I tried that in Arizona, Your Honor, and it didn't work.
Well, I know. But the reason is that you're doing business in Illinois. If you're not doing business in Illinois at all, you have no complaint.
Let me put it this way.
We're not preventing you from doing what you don't want to do anyway.
No, but what it is it's part of a unitary system of interstate commerce. And that is a distinction.
Are
and
you
it
licensed
is important.
To practice law in Illinois?
Absolutely not, Your Honor.
How did you get to appear before this court?
I sought permission.
You were given leave to, otherwise you wouldn't be here at all. So your license doesn't apply here. Unless we let you in, pro hoc feature.
Actually, I am admitted in the Seventh Circuit. I had to apply pro hoc in the district court.
Yes.
So there is a distinction.
Yeah.
No, but
the
point is...
But you couldn't go to an Illinois court now and practice law, could you?
No. Mm-hmm. No,
you
absolutely.
Got a license
in your view, why not?
Yeah.
In my view, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Because then I will be physically in that state...
Oh,
working
no.
in
we'll,
that
we'll,
state.
We'll have you practicing from Texas.
Right.
Okay. We'll send you to Texas... There's a need for an opinion letter on whether a real estate transfer in Illinois is valid, right? And you send from Texas a letter opining about the validity of an Illinois real estate transaction to somebody in Illinois.
And you're never here.
And I'm sending it to Illinois?
Yeah.
To you're somebody in Illinois.
That would probably be a violation of the prohibition on practicing law in Illinois.
Question I ask.
No.
Why aren't you arguing that requiring someone to have an Illinois law license to practice law in Illinois violates the Commerce Clause?
Because that's not my case.
We call a hypothetical is because it's not your case.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I didn't mean to.
The penalty for refusing to deal with a hypothetical is usually severe.
I'm not trying to do that, Your Honor, and I apologize. My point is that you have to look at the distinction here, because practicing law, frankly, is a far different creature than engaging in a personal service contract, which is performed through interstate means.
What is different, in your view, between a legal opinion about the transfer of a condominium timeshare interest and the transfer of the condominium timeshare interest?
Because I'm not, as a real estate broker, I am not transferring it. I am marketing it. There is a distinction. And
well,
what Stroman does is...
As somebody sending
like
an opinion, you're not doing it either.
I'm sorry?
By sending a letter, you're not doing anything either. You're just giving your opinion. You're not transferring anything. Do you have anything? Just giving your opinion.
But that's not what Illinois is doing here. Illinois is saying that it can prohibit my clients, Texas clients, from hiring Stroman to transfer a timeshare interest in Illinois. Without an Illinois license. Mm. And in fact, this circuit has held that when the services are performed in another state, and here they are performed across the United States and across the world, because selling these interests is something that you have, because of the dispersion of buyers and sellers, has to be done on a nationwide basis. You have to have a big area in order to reach these buyers, because most of the Illinois timeshare owners don't own timeshares in Illinois. They own them somewhere else. And the Illinois State Court has held that you can hire a broker in Indiana to sell your Indiana property, even though he's not licensed in Illinois. And if that's true, then why is it prohibited here? Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.